Guest on the program today, Boone Mayor John Slight. How's it going?
Doing good.
Here we are. Yeah. Into the month of October, yes. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Which literally, can that mean that work on budget's far away?
It's not far.
Not far away
next month,
at all.
We'll be tearing into it.
You guys start digging into it, and you'll be on for part of it.
I will.
And others will be moving in after that,
That's somebody right.
But let's talk about last night's Boone City Council meeting.
Okay.
And I'm going to go right away to the one that I know that Fire Chief Justin Adams was pretty excited, and
yes.
The council did approve allowing them to have an apprentice. And we're going, what? You're saying, what, an apprentice fireman? A couple of years ago, he really took it upon himself to work with the EDGE program at school, the Boone Schools, working with DMAC to do some EMT education. Got a lot of young people that started to show an interest in it,
mm-hmm.
even more so now, I think,
yeah.
It seems like. But one of the results is workforce development made grant money available to do an apprenticeship.
Apprenticeship.
We've had it, you know, through the program, we've heard about, you know, with Kruk Plumbing and Heating,
right.
And now Fairways Meat Cutting Apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Here's one for EMT work.
EMT. This, and we believe, and I Justin stated last night, we believe we're the first in the state to do this. So we've done the EMT class and had the kids and whatever, but as far as an apprenticeship.
We've done internships.
Yeah.
But this is an apprenticeship.
This is an apprenticeship. So last night, the council unanimously approved the hiring of a new EMT apprentice, and it's Hannah Deary. And so she'll get going, and I think she said she's 17.
She said
soon
she's 17.
18.
She'll be 18 this month, so she can actually treat people.
And you can just tell she's eager to learn and get in there and work with our crew. And so I think it's great. And this also helps us, like Justin stated. You know, you got she could go into our paid on call.
Mm-hmm.
She can move into. She may end up. Who knows? She could end up working for us full time someday.
Could be.
And what a better way to actually get your own homegrown. You've trained them, taught them. So we'll,
which is one of the things I know that Justin was looking for,
right.
Being able to access groups like that. And we know Michaela Keenitz at the hospital. Yes, we definitely want EMTs,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
Again, the same for the ambulance service.
So. Yep.
These are, again, this was one last night. I know he was very excited.
Exactly. Yeah, he was. So, between that and burning down the pizza.
There was that. So let's talk a little bit about that right away, because he did say, and he did want to emphasize, you know, burning it down was one thing, but they had a substantial amount of time to go out there and do training in a commercial-type setting building,
right.
Something they normally don't get to do.
Right. So I work out that way. So a lot of times when I would leave work to go home, they're out there training, and everybody was calling, hey, what's going on? I said, they're just doing some training. But he said, I think 250-some hours of training they got in there. So that's fantastic. Not only for our full-timers who have the experience, whatever, but for our paid-on-call. And you know, this was – and if you were out there, a lot of people were out watching, but it was pretty neat. I mean, they had it smoldering at first, and they were making entry and cutting holes in the roof and doing different things. And finally, that thing went up, and it was. And then they had our big aerial, the big truck out. It was pretty impressive. And I told them that last night. It was neat to see everybody. Shout out to whether or not I see they dropped off food, and they helped feed the firefighters. And so it was
a warm day.
It was hot, and I sat out and watched for quite a while. But good training overall. Great for the business owner. Great for the fire department. And they're already cleaning it up out there.
So one question, and I know some people are thinking it. They just think, well, why did we help that business owner? Mr. Clements, Pat Clements owned it. And why did we help him with the demolition? And I mentioned to somebody, I said, because it's the same kind of program we've used for others.
Yeah. I mean, he's entitled to any type of help that anybody else does. I mean, he pays a tremendous amount of taxes in this community. He thought it would be great. I don't think it was the money thing. It was more so he thought it was neat that the fire department could train on it. It was kind of a unique situation because it's a commercial building that's far enough apart that mm-hmm. we didn't really have too many worries about, you know, structures next to it. So it just all worked out well.
But it's one of those where, and the agreement with him is that, like it is with others, if you build something within a certain amount of time, it's to your benefit, to the city's benefit as well.
And if he doesn't, then he has to pay back The portion the city participated in. So, but no, I was out about 2 o'clock yesterday. I noticed a crew working over there cleaning the, getting piles set up, and it looks like now they just need to pick up the piles. And there's a lot of stuff there.
There was a lot of smoke. It was a lot. We did have first a couple of other things last night. I'm going to say probably one of the other big ones. The council did approve the authorization to get involved with another Community Catalyst grant. Again, yes. This is a grant for the Boone, Virginia Theater Building. That's what we'll call it. Again, a lot of people using different names for it. But we do know that the people that are doing it, it was a grant they wanted to pursue. Ames Economic Development handled the grant preparation for it.
Yeah.
And the city will be actually handling it, making sure that it gets distributed as it comes
in. Be the pass-through.
But this is a big part for their project, which is really the roofing.
The roof needs, so this is the building directly south of City Hall, right across the street, and it's going to be a restaurant. And if you've been by, they've been working constantly on, they've gutted the whole inside, the upstairs, the roof very much, and they knew this up front, that the roof needed some serious attention. So this Catalyst grant that Ames Economic Development, they're the ones that got it done. I mean, they've continually helped us and helped the businesses, and I can't speak highly enough about them. But
they've secured a lot of grant money for it.
They really have, and this helps this business,
and
helps us overall as a community to have we'll have another restaurant eventually.
This is because you also use BDIF dollars with this, and once again, this is one of those where those are all reimbursement. The building owner will have to spend the money, but they will be reimbursed for it once it's been spent.
So. Right. And there's a couple projects close to being done, speaking of BDIF. Yeah. BAME Insurance, very close, and I guess his numbers come in lower than projected. And then H&R Block.
And we want to point out to people, too, it's not full reimbursement.
No.
This is the roofing one for the CAT grant, that's $100,000.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that's going to cover.
Right.
But I do know BDIF is a percentage.
It is.
It's a fraction of what gets spent.
And people say, well, why do you do that? Then, you know, but technically the city gets their money back eventually. I mean, when you improve your building, typically the assessed value of that building goes up, or the city would receive more tax dollars through the years. So, but it's all a big program to help these local businesses, and it's been successful. I mean, if you go downtown and look at the ones that have participated in it,
just H&R Block, the work they've done.
Yeah.
There's pretty extensive.
I know it.
Yeah. And she's pretty excited about it being a little cooler in the afternoon, too.
That's right.
So, but those are, again, that's some of the things. So we've done a number of those this year. You've got a number of them that are still out there, too.
Yes. So.
There's interest.
That's a program the city council has really supported and stuck with. We've added to it.
You did this year for this fiscal year.
You'll see it continue.
Yeah, so it's one of those going on. All right, you had the folks from YSS in.
Yes.
They come in every year about this time and say, come and visit us. It's for the Kids Club program.
It is. Kids Club. This is the lights on after school. And Tori McKay came and gave a nice kind of overview of what they do. They're there in the morning they've moved now to the new elementary school.
New Ledges, yep.
Ledges, and so they're excited about their new facility. But they're there at 6:30 in the morning, I believe she said, till, you know, where people drop, they got to drop their kids off somewhere, and that's kind of a nice, it works well. They're there after school. They're there during spring break. They're there, I mean, these folks do a lot of things that, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize, but they're taking care of these kids that have no place to go at times, and it's just a convenience thing, but it's a good learning thing as well. And they do projects, and she talked about how they go to the nursing homes, and they've worked with the Humane Society. They just do a variety of things, and that's good. It's a great program.
So the lights on after school, and I know you're not the only council that got a visit. I think Madrid got one last night. I'm pretty sure Ogden's going to get one next week.
Neat little card they sent on the back inviting us on October, I think it was October 25th, 5:30 to 7. They're having a Halloween party.
All right.
And they designed this little car. It's pretty cool. They did good. So the kids get
to do that work. And once again, it's not the first time. This has happened several times in the past. A couple of things that are coming up. We know that Dave Aides did warned the council. I guess he warned him.
Yeah.
One of the things that one of the goals that had been brought up previously was to, you know, codification, bringing our code up to, you know, taking a look at our ordinances
yes.
and what needs yep. to be changed. So one of the first big ones, of course, is zoning. And you had an opportunity working with Mid-Iowa Planning. Mm-hmm. That's one of their expertise. They reviewed a lot of things, made some recommendations. Yep. I know Dave Aides has been going through it. I think you guys have some help from
we
Ed
do.
Higgins coming back in to help out with that. But he is going to bring bring information to the council, actually
yep.
before the next
yeah,
meeting.
Yeah, we'll get through it.
Because there will be a quiz.
This is one of those that...
it's going to take a
some
while.
Some will say boring because you read through all these ordinances and you're like, but once in a while we run into an ordinance, you're like, I wonder why it reads like that. And it's just an old ordinance that maybe needs updated. And so during our goal setting, one of the goals was, let's take a look at our existing ordinances. If there's any way we can update them or bring them up to today's, you know, because
just
some
updated,
of them are old and
period.
they're just outdated. So, but we'll get a good look at that. And Dave Aides, I know he's worked hard on this, brought in Ed Higgins, our former building director and or planning director. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this will get updated. It's way overdue, I'm sure.
All right, so we had to cut anyway. That's good work in progress, folks. Mm-hmm. That's going to take a little while to and then go through and then take action on the updates, because you'll have to go through the process.
Oh, yes.
On that, we did hear from Waylon Andrews. He's identified areas where he would like to do some more sewer lining work.
Right.
Did some in the last fiscal year, got that done,
yep.
But would like to continue on several different areas.
Yep, they've identified some areas over on Woodland to Union, on Story Street, over in West Boone on West 7th to McPherson, and there was a third one I didn't get. He was going pretty quick. I tried to write it down, but these are...
Story first to Mamie.
Yep.
Oh, in there where we just did the...
Right. So we've identified some areas that need work. They've done some work already, and this is... When you see the streets blocked and their work, this is a lot of underground work, obviously. But once they get in there and with our new cameras, we can identify what the problems are. And these are areas he says, hey, while we need to get these lined, and this will preserve that for a long time. So it's something you'll see a lot of, I think, as we move forward between the root cutting, between the lining. It's just a continuous maintenance program to try to keep these lines.
The lining part, a lot more cost effective.
Yes.
Well, it used to be. I think more and more communities are starting to do mm-hmm. this. Same reason. If you don't have to dig it up and it's still structurally pretty good, you can really extend the life quite
a
bit.
Yeah, you can. And that's, you know, we did Green Street, South Green, South Boone area. Mm-hmm. And so now they've identified some things over on Story Street. West Boone, they've identified. So they see these things, especially, like I said, with this new camera we have, they can get, I think he said he got within 3 feet of where they could identify where somebody's line had pulled away from the city line.
Mm-hmm.
And but those are all good things to know, because a lot of times the homeowner gets told by somebody, hey, it's the city's fault or whatever, but we can go in and look. If it's our fault, we take care of it. But if it's also the residents, that we need to also get that taken care of. So.
So anyway, we do have some areas identified, and that will be in this coming fiscal year. And I think he would like to do them relatively soon if he can.
I remind people, this stuff underground is old. I mean, we're dealing with some very old. And no, we're not unique. There's other communities, the same thing. But it's part of a maintenance type program that we have to keep them up. Or it's gonna. You're right. Then we'd have to tear up, replace, and that gets very costly. So.
So we had a lot of that happening. That's good.
Uh-huh.
And again, we like to, again, I know you like it. If you can't see it, people forget about it.
Yeah.
And in this case, fortunately, they are taking the time to look at it
and
do that preservation. So one of the things that came up last night, and I know Councilmember Terry Moorman talked about this, but this is to go back to your request to let's have bigger signs with phone numbers at the railroad crossings.
Still fighting that.
And he pointed out that really right now the focus is trying to work more with the Federal Railroad Authority because people think you probably have some power over the Union Pacific Railroad.
We do not.
We know that's not the case.
We do not. And I've tried, trust me. Councilman Moorman reached out to Senator Ernst in conjunction with he's reached out to the railroad. And we did get a response back. It was kind of a canned, generic response. But one of the things that came out of that was the railroad looks more so at residential calls, complaints, than they do the city calling. They look at our call. I could get 10 calls and I call in and they look at it as one call. Mm-hmm. So my idea was when you pull up to the tracks and it's blocked, the only person that can read that sign is that first car, because I've done this and I've called in. So my idea is let's get some bigger signage, move it back a ways. So if you're five cars back, you can read the sign. If you're
Phone number, yeah.
Get the phone number, call it. I will tell you this. You have to dance around a little bit and hit this number and this number, but you finally can get to something, and then I ended up leaving a message. They never did call me back, by the way. And it's frustrating because I'm worried about getting emergency services back and forth across mm-hmm. those tracks, and it worries me that we're going to lose somebody one of these days because we can't get to them. I will tell you, I remember listening to a police officer wrestling with somebody at Northside Casey's, and it took a while to get another car up there because they had to go down, around the viaduct, come back over, all of these things. So whether it be a city employee that could get injured, a resident that's in emergency. You know, and I always say this, I don't care who shows up. When you call 911, I want somebody to show up. That's why I've always been so big on public safety and police, fire, ambulance, working with the county, the sheriff's department. We all work together good. But my goal is to make sure we get someone to you as quick as we can. With this train blockage, I can't get there all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep fighting them until my last day. So,
well, we do know railroad has some issues about your bigger signs. Yeah. Signs with bigger phone numbers on.
Our city attorney, along with our city administrator, in the next couple weeks are having meetings, or at least a initial meeting with the Union Pacific legal team that handles these things. They claim there could be some legal issues. I don't see how they could. It's our property. I don't know why I can't put a sign there to help our residents. So I will fight that all the way.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to keep trying.
Did bring up the viaduct.
Yes.
People complain about that.
We do.
Why don't you do things to fix it? Well, obviously, that belongs to the Union Pacific.
It
and
does.
You have expressed concerns about it.
I have. Not only the safety concerns, but the cosmetic concerns. It looks terrible. And, you know, there's council people asking, well, you could do this, and this is not ours. We can't do it. You can make, you know, and you can try to reach out and get, so it takes forever to get back, someone to get back to you. And I sound like I'm just constantly complaining. It's not the local employees. They're fantastic. The railroad. They call me from the trains. They're like, hey, I'm sitting out here west of town. I'm trying to stop the train. They're making me bring this thing in, and I know we're going to set a while. They're great. It's the folks out in Omaha
they're
calling the shots. And like they told me, I'll never forget this. They said, you're just a little artery in this whole thing. I said, well, you can say that all you want, but my job is to look out for our residents. So, yeah, it's a battle. I've fought it. You know I have.
Oh, yeah. And they're
someone
their
else
PR
fight
person,
it after
their
me.
PR person. She did. I remember her telling that. She said, you have to remember.
Yeah.
You're just a small. You're one.
Yeah,
we will point out that Mr. Mormon, Mr. Scare, several others went to Washington.
Yes.
And this is where they made the initial contact, finding out about with the Federal Railroad.
They met with our delegates.
But it was not just Boone.
No.
It was Ames. It was Nevada.
Yes. So they all, one of their top priorities, and which was one of ours, was these blocking the tracks. Now, Ames, they can complain somewhat, but I don't think the trains stop there that much.
Nevada, not as much.
But we get them stopping here because they're doing crew changes. They're switching off trains. Understand that. The city's now invested. You know, we didn't have to. It's not in city limits. We invested heavily into this overpass to obviously hope that we'd get some trains moved out. And I have not seen much change yet. And that's, you know, when we met with the DOT commission, mm-hmm. that was one of our big pushes. You know, we're here, we're putting city tax dollars into a county project, but it's all about public safety.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why they moved that project up. So now the railroad needs to do their part and make it happen.
Well, you know, we have a lot of other projects, running out of time.
Yeah.
I know. I knew I would get you going on that. But, again, a lot of other things are going on. We've got a lot of housing construction stuff that's going on, a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you taking time to come and
visit.
Thank you.
Thank you.